creepy voice, Craig.
Yeah, it's horrible. They found the worst voice for it. It's like every podcast recorded on Discord now is just like starts with this air of tension because of the Craig bot.
I'm dying, Dave.
Welcome to DNF Talks, a Last Game Science on Earth mini-series where we'll take more of an interview approach to really get to know our guests and find out what they're up to in the world of tabletop gaming. Enjoy the talk.
Finally, we get to talk about me.
Should we start at the beginning, guys?
I'm sorry. I started painting Warhammer, which James, you love to talk about, when I was six. Basically saw my dad doing it and was like, I want to join it. I am important and I want to do this also. And basically, it's been a huge part of my life since then. I went from Warhammer to D&D. You know, when I could put my own group together in sixth form, finally, like, browbeat all my friends to coming to play games with me. Obviously, board games is a big thing. Through uni, I managed the Tabletop Games and War Games Society. For 3 years, I was on the committee there. And out of uni, I started work for Steamforged in the warehouse and then worked in or with basically every single department there.
Awesome. So just quickly, Steamforged is the board game publisher in Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the board game publishers in Manchester. Their big thing is probably Dark Souls the board game, if you've heard that.
Yeah, awesome.
But yeah, that's how I got here. I started as a demanding child and, you know, sort of kept at it. And now I want to do my own thing.
Very nice. What about you, Josh?
Much like Corey, actually, it was a relative of mine. My uncle had a big collection of tiny red toy soldiers that turned out to be Warhammer 40k Blood Angels. He gave me a handful of his old ones when I was about 9 or 10. And I've been collecting Blood Angels ever since, actually. I ended up playing more, getting back into Warhammer in sort of like year 9 and 10 when a group of friends kind of discovered it and got back into it. Suddenly realized there was like a whole game to play with it and stuff, not just making pew-pew noises and shaking them at each other. And then it was D&D. And yeah, finally, a few months ago, I said, screw it, I'm bored of writing homebrew and making up my own worlds. Let's make something out of this with Corey.
Excellent. So is it just the two of you?
It is, yeah, dynamic duo.
Excellent. How long have you been going?
Well, we've been quietly working on stuff since October, November time, actually. We finally decided to sort of focus up. Corey was working on some really cool homebrew stuff for our weekly game. And I said to him, I was like, you know what, mate, I've got a sneaky feeling that this is good enough to actually put out into the world.
Excellent. Cool. So how do you guys split the workload? Do you both do bits of everything, or do you assign tasks specifically?
I mean, as a small company and a duo, we both have to do a bit of everything. Having said that, Corey's the talent behind the operation. I'm the business, really. I do all the spreadsheets and numbers and all the boring stuff. And yeah, Corey takes the lead on the development stuff.
Excellent.
I mean, like, I think that's been a little bit unfair to you there. Like, I think we split like the graphic design fairly evenly. So we both do a lot of the creative element there. Even if I come up with an idea, it doesn't actually look like a finished thing until we sit and refine it. Like, we'll sit on Discord or on Facebook Messenger or whatever for hours, like days sometimes, just shooting ideas back and forth. But you definitely have a hand in the creative aspect.
Well, thank you for not selling me short there.
All right, so do you want to tell us about your first project?
Mm. Yeah, so this is At Your Peril, a practical guidebook to curses. It is for Zine Quest, which I guess we'll discuss a bit more later on. But it is a magazine on everything you need to know about curses, how to write them yourself as a DM, how to utilize them as a player, how to make them a narrative point, and most importantly, how to make that fun.
Yeah, and it's going to include loads of stuff like different questions to ask yourself as a player, different options for people running games. Like, there's going to be a few tables because, you know, what's better for a RPG than a table?
Love a good table.
Exactly. Yeah, it's basically as much as we can pack in, like, we're aiming at 40 pages for it at the moment for a zine, but that may change as, you know, the amount of stuff we get to put in there changes.
So where did the idea come from to do a zine? When did you decide to do that?
Basically, like Josh said, we were working on stuff from like October, November time, you know, sort of going, oh, when do we want like a first release of something? Do we want to like release this project or that project, the other? You know what it's like when you've got a million and one ideas and you're trying to sort of spin them all to see where it all goes.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was a little bit like that. And then like sometime in January, I think it was, that Kickstarter actually said, oh yeah, we're doing Zine Quest again this year.
What is that?
So Zine Quest is a little promo thing that they run for RPG zines, which are little, like, traditionally homemade little magazines on a very specific topic. So a lot of people are doing like specific systems, a lot of people are doing adventures, lore guides, basically everything like that. Everyone gets to do a really condensed thing, and Kickstarter give a little bit of extra promotion. And the idea is, what can you do with a short campaign, so usually about 2 weeks, and this really restrictive format?
All right.
So they said, yeah, we're going to do that again this year, at which point I turned around to Josh and said, oh, do you reckon we could do this? This seems like actually a really good jumping off point for it. You know, we went with it.
Yeah, the Zine Quest as a whole is a really, really good way for smaller developers to dip their toes in the water on something that's a little bit low risk, you know, because they are smaller publications. You know, you're not trying to put out a whole 300 page hardback, but it's still really interesting content because it is more niche. It is slightly more experimental. And I think it, you know, it's a nice platform for smaller developers and solo developers to really put something cool out into the world.
Yeah, I think the best equivalent for like people who don't already know what an RPG zine would be like, it's like the indie video games where it's a bunch of small companies and individuals who have like a particular idea that they just absolutely hammer in on, and it comes out with some really creative stuff and just off the wall things just because of the nature of it.
Are the majority of them kind of like, subscriptions, as in you're signing up for the first issue of a subscription, like a normal magazine, or are most of them presented as kind of like this is a one-off thing?
Basically, all of them are individual things. This is a one and done, bang, here's the concept, here you go. Like I say, it's a lot of people trialing out interesting systems to do specific concepts.
Right.
So I know that there's actually quite a few this year about heists. So there's a bunch of different self-contained games in these little booklets that are all about heists, and it's different angles on that from different indie RPG creators. You do get a couple that are the subscription model. I know that there's one out there that's accessibility in tabletop gaming, which I have backed.
Yeah, we backed that as well. We've actually got somebody coming on the show tomorrow to talk about accessibility in gaming, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
But yeah, I know that one going off a subscription where it's, here's the Kickstarter for the next year's worth of zines about accessibility in gaming. But that is by far the majority.
What's the name of that zine again? Let's give them a little shout out.
Accessible Gaming Quarterly Year 2.
Worth a look at, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they're literally down as @accessiblegames on Twitter is the creator. It's done by a blind tabletop games designer. It's just really cool. It's just a good resource to have for the community.
Definitely, yeah. Ah, cool. So where did you get the idea to do curses from? Where did that come from?
So for years, I've kind of had a reputation among the people who've played in my games as a bit of a git. And sort of one of the ways that I got that reputation was I really loved doing like long-term curses that people didn't actually know what the curse was until it was far too late. So like one of my favorite ones was a campaign that I ran in uni for people, where basically over the course of like 6 months, I turned a guy into a squid without him realizing what was going on. Like, I kept giving hints and I kept sort of steering them into, oh, something's a bit weird about this thing that I've given you that you've picked up. Like, he just sort of shrugged and went along with it. It's like, this is fine. Like, at one point his eyebrows fell off. Like, just sort of came off when he washed his face. And he was like, yeah, this water's clearly cursed. This is probably fine. And I'm just like, okay, fine, whatever. but yeah, in that session, I think all five players had cursed items because, you know, they all demanded magic items that made them a load better. So I gave them horrible curses because I want to have fun as well. And from there and from sort of all these games that I've played in, I really love cursed items into things and putting curses on places and people and characters. And I just don't see it in any like official material that much. Like for tabletop games. Like you see it in films and in games and everything, but you don't see it for tabletop. So just wanted to fix that.
So what do you think makes your zine stand out from the crowd? Because I had a look before, there was a fair few.
Yeah, there's many of them about. There's a lot of very, very, very good ones out there. I think for ours, it seems that curses are a little bit underrepresented on the tabletop, which is strange considering like they're such a core part of folklore and fantasy, even from like, you know, Studio Ghibli stuff, the classic Disney stuff, all the way back to Grimm's fairy tales and Faust, Lord of the Rings even. I think ours in particular, it's a real practical guide to using them on the tabletop. It is something that, you know, you haven't got to be an excellent player to get the most out of or an excellent DM. You'll come away with some really, really cool stuff that you will be able to implement in your own sessions and really have a lot of fun with.
Yeah. I think also what makes us stand out is as you're going through all of these zines, most of them are very mechanics based. They're very much here's a way to roll dice to play this particular game. It's a little rule book. Whereas ours is system non-specific. It's more about inspiration and it's more about having something to put into every game you play forever.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of taken a, you know, teach a man to fish approach. We're not going to just give you a list of 10 things, you know, 10 NPCs to use in your setting. It's going to be really to teach you how to implement a really cool and fun narrative function in the form of curses.
Ah, cool. What do you hope for people using your zine?
Like Josh said, we sort of want people to come away knowing how to use curses to have more fun in their games, to make the best use of that as collaborative storytellers. Like, we don't want people to come away and go, oh, I'm really, really going to punish my players and they're really going to hate this. I really want them to come away and go, you know what, this sounds awesome. This sounds like a great thing for this player or this character or this story. I'm going to put it in. I'm going to put in this and it's going to make everything better in my game.
Nice. Have you guys got a favorite curse from the zine?
Should I reveal the mechanic, the twist?
I think we keep that one under wraps. Like, you know, just say what it is.
My favorite cursed item is definitely, it's Wakeley's clogs. They
Do you wear clogs a lot, Josh?
I'm known for it, yeah. Yeah, all the people of Hume know me as Clogfooted Wakely.
Is that you? I thought that was a horse.
No, that's me. I just like skipping through town in my clogs.
So what do these clogs do?
They cause intense foot pain. Horribly cursed. It'll ruin your day. You know, you've got to stroll through the park of the fantasy capital and your world is going to be extremely painful.
So they're uncomfortable shoes.
No, they're cursed. It's a book of curses, James. They have a curse upon them.
But it sounds like you are just describing uncomfortable shoes.
I mean, you've cocked it straight away. They have poor arch support. They're not actually cursed at all. There's no magic involved. They are just a pet. They're a complete red herring for players.
Yeah, exactly the thing we're going for. With that item is, so one of the ways you can use curses is obviously to mess around with the concept of what a curse is and how players will understand it. So we've got Wakely's clogs are an example of how to do that in a specific way. All the curses, all the items, all the locations that get named in the zine are all there to show a different way you can tweak with a curse at the table to get a different effect out of it.
Cool. What about you, Corey? You got a favourite curse?
It's like asking me to pick my horrible children.
which of your misshapen children do you hate the least?
I think my favourite one as it currently stands is there's an amulet where it helps you rest. So you get the best night's sleep you've ever had. You wake up feeling completely refreshed in, you know, less than an hour.
You get a full night's sleep.
Basically a full sleep reset button in this amulet. But the way it's cursed means that's not going to go well for you. So there's an advantage to it and there's a disadvantage. I'm not sure if I want to spoil it, because I think it's a lot of fun as to how acts with the world around. So I think I'll just leave it at, there's an amulet that grants you a great night's sleep and something else.
All right, then. Keep your secrets. So do you want to talk a bit about the artwork in the zine?
Hmm. Yeah, so we've commissioned a pair of friends of ours on top of Hive Mind's own Corey, to really, you know, try and fill out the pages of this thing and make them pretty. Hopefully the preview pages are really going to show off some good stuff. We've got an incredible piece coming for the cover I'm really excited about. But yeah, we've got real professional art from all three of these artists.
Do you want to name them?
Yeah, certainly. So we've got the first of the artists we've commissioned is Hattie Blundell. You can find her on Facebook, Harriet Jane Illustration. She's doing the cover for us. The artist is like blowing me away with what she's doing for the cover. And then we've got Jamie Hodgson, who's an old friend of mine from back home. He's doing some excellent stuff for the pages for us. You find him on Instagram at jh_illustration. You'll see a lot more of their artwork on the page. We're really making a point to, you know, obviously put them out in the spotlight for the awesome work that they're doing.
I'm also doing some of it as well. You know, as we mentioned, because we're just two friends starting out at this point, we've got to keep a lot of stuff in-house.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've taken on a lot of it. We're going for like a really cool, like, wood-printed style. So, like, it's really going to give off that really, not quite like witchy vibe, but that really classic.
It's a real medieval, like manuscript, illuminated script type of woodblock art. It should give it a real, it should make it feel like a tomb, a cursed tome.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, next question. What's the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome?
In terms of the zine or generally? Because like I have a list of grievances.
A list of grievances, and my psychiatrist has been out the office this week.
That could be the next podcast. For this one, just the zine.
So I think the biggest hurdle has been the fact that we can't meet up in person. So a lot of the organization, we've had to get very good at describing things conceptually, because I can't physically show on like a board or a piece of paper what it is I'm talking about. So I need to like go in to like a shared online document and remove bits and highlight bits and go, okay, so imagine this was here. Now imagine it was a completely different page, and imagine this bit was over here, and that would mean that this and that. So we've had to get very, very good at summing up what we mean in a way that can be understood by the other one and not cause an argument because one of us thinks the other one is suggesting, like early on it was, wait, you're suggesting a complete rewrite there. No, I'm not. I'm suggesting something completely else. And then it turns out we're talking about the same thing because it's a real skill to develop to describe something that is so conceptual without being able to show it.
Yeah, that. Yeah. What are you guys hoping comes from the Kickstarter?
I guess for us as a business, as a duo, I would just really love this to be a leaping off point for us. I know we've got ideas for products just out the wazoo. We've got a couple of clear front runners on that, and that's what we were working on previously. But I'd love this to be a jumping off point, just for us to put something out, kind of prove our salt a little bit, and that to lead into more cool stuff.
So have you guys got any plans for next projects as part of the company?
Yeah, so as I say, we've got a bunch of sort of plates spinning in terms of ideas. There's a whole document that's just pages of aims to do, different tabletop games, board games, you know, both of us being war games, there's ideas for that. I really like the homebrew setting that I've got going at the moment in that game Josh mentioned. It's a sort of eldritch horror, Celtic-inspired nightmare world with a lot of stuff going on in the background that I find really fun to use on a tabletop.
Yeah, I think excellent. Corey's selling himself short on that one. That setting's a lot of fun, and it's one that we definitely want to explore. It's one of the things we were working on before we found out about ZineQuest.
Excellent. Got any advice for people wanting to start their own zine?
Just do it. Like I've literally had someone in who I know through the tabletop community sort of come up to me and say, How much are you doing? Like how many words is it? Like you've been planning? Sort of had to say to him, like, you know, you don't have to have the whole thing ready to go, ready to print as soon as the campaign's over. You just need to be open with the people who you're trying to sell this to. If you've got an idea and you've got enough of an idea to show off, just go for it. Z is such a widespread thing, especially in RPGs, and there's just a thriving community around them, that if you've got an idea, there's going to be someone interested. And if you can execute the idea well, there's going to be loads of people who are into it.
Excellent. All right, then. So where can listeners connect with you online?
Well, we've got the Hive Mind Games Facebook and the Twitter. Those are both sort of our hubs of activity. We've also got a website. And, of course, by the time this goes out, we'll also have our Kickstarter, At Your Peril, on Kickstarter, on ZineQuest.
So you can find us on Twitter at Hivemind Creates, where Hivemind Games on Facebook. We have a website that's hivemindgames.co.uk. Hopefully by the time this airs, you should be able to find At Your Peril under the ZineQuest tag on Kickstarter.
Cool. And how long will the project be up for?
That's going to be up for 2 weeks, planning on running it the 15th of February through to the 1st of March. Obviously, we can't confirm at the moment whether that is going to be the case. That's what we're planning. Everything is in place to be there like that, but
yeah, we're planning on having it up by then, but there's a lot of plates spinning, and you know, it'll be up when we're happy with it.
Mm. This last question is going to be the question that we're going to ask all of our guests on the DNF talks. So what does tabletop mean to you?
It's really difficult to put into words because tabletop has been such an enormous part of my life for literally 20 years at this point. I do not remember a time of where I haven't been invested in tabletop. It's how I know the vast majority of my friends. It's how I spend most of my time, where I spend a lot of my money. It's it's really hard to sum up what it means to me because it's such an enormous part of who I perceive myself to be and who I am.
What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, after 20 years, it really does just become a part of your identity almost. You know, the vast majority of my friends are into tabletop. It's something that we all really bond over. It's why me and Corey know each other. We joined a tabletop, a Warhammer 40K competition in our first year in uni. And we showed up at a Games Workshop store on a Wednesday and played a game. Yeah, it's just a part of you by that point.
Great answers, guys. That was great. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I forgot that was how we met, actually, Corey.
I looked and carried myself a lot differently at the time, so easy to forget.
No, I mean, I just forgot that it was tabletop that I remember it was you. I remember how we met when I think about it, but I forgot. Yeah, just forgot it was a...
Yeah, and I lost. And I've been holding that grudge for years. One day I'm going to get one up on you.
Keep trying, young man.
Oh, I'm going to take a tank at a 500 point list.
I mean, it's not my fault that you were two editions out on how useful possessed were.
Hey, I had a very fluffy list for my Chaos Space Marines that fit into the lore perfectly. It's not my fault that the lore and the rules never match up.
You made your bed, sir.
Once again, massive thank you to our guests Corey Davies and Josh Wakely from Hive Mind Games. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us about anything at all, find us on social media with @LGNOEPodcast or email us at lastgamesnightonearth@outlook.com. If you enjoyed it, please consider telling at least one person. It's the best way to help spread podcasts. And if you want to help support Dungeons & Flagons' events in the future and keep the podcast going, check out our Patreon by searching Dungeons & Flagons. I've been James, and this has been DNF Talks, part of the Last Games Night on Earth podcast. Thanks again.